All right, we'd better get moving tonight because I think we might have a really long-winded preacher tonight. We'll see if that's the case. This will be the Proving Grounds tonight. And we are delighted to welcome our own Gage Yeerton to come and preach the Word of God to us this evening. Welcome, Gage. And let me just introduce him to you tonight by way of a quick interview. Can we do that? Interview. All right, Gage, when did you first receive Jesus as your Savior?
Oh, I first received the Lord probably when I was about 7 years old, and then I rededicated my life after a pretty harsh accident when I was 12.
After an accident at 12 years old. And when did the Lord start to call you into the ministry? When did you begin to feel that?
Well, the Lord called me when I was 14, and then I said no. And he called me again when I was 16, and then I said no again. Then he called me the last time I went to youth camp when I was 18 years old, and that was the last time he asked me, and I said yes.
Yes. What are you doing right now in life?
Currently, I'm serving in the Air Force. I've been in for just under 3 years, and I'm working towards becoming a chaplain for the Armed Forces.
Yes. How long have you been in the Air Force for? Just about 3 years?
Just about.
And where are you stationed right now?
I'm up in Alaska right now.
Oh, Alaska.
So it's much colder than here.
Oh, wouldn't I enjoy that? Boy, and do you have a pastor up there in Alaska?
I do, Pastor Judah Kessler. He's an amazing man, and he's only about 4 years older than me.
If he needs a 3-week vacation, just have him call me. I would love spending a few weeks in Alaska and enjoying that beautiful God-given weather up there. Amen. Yes.
It's
yes.
Not always beautiful.
Yep. And Gage, when did you first feel the call to be a chaplain in the Air Force, in the military?
So the first time I felt the call to be a chaplain was actually the last time the Lord called me to ministry when I was 18 at church camp. So up until that point, it felt like a call towards ministry, but the Lord really placed it on my heart that chaplaincy in the Air Force was where I was headed when I was 18 years
yes.
old.
Yes, and who is your dad? Is he close by?
It's right there, white shirt,
there,
white hair on the sides.
Our own Scott Yeerton is your dad, and Kelly is your stepmom.
Yep.
She's like a mom to you, but your mom went home to be with the Lord in heaven early.
Back in 2016.
And she was not very old, was she?
No, she was about 36.
Not 36.
38 when 38, she passed away.
And you were how old? Do you remember?
I was 12.
12 years old.
Just before I turned 13.
So that was a tough season in your life as well.
Yes.
And I know that season caused you really even to draw closer to the Lord. Though it was a challenging time spiritually, you grabbed hold of God during that season, I know. And that's about the time you came to be a part of this church family, is that right?
Just a couple years before we came here, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And you've been faithful since.
Ever since.
I can tell you that Gage has been excellent at everything he's put his hand to around here. In fact, he can pull up bushes out of a landscaping bed with the best of them. I know because he's done that at my house on a few occasions.
And get stung by bees.
And get stung by the bees that were stationed in there. Well, Gage, we're excited to have you preach your first sermon here tonight. I know that you've been filled with the Word of God for a long, long time because we've talked about the Word of God many times together. Gage is a student of Scripture. He has the touch of the Lord upon him and the call of God upon his life. And so let's welcome Gage as he preaches the Word to us tonight. Amen.
Like Pastor Lowell said, I've been coming to this church since I was about 14 to 16. So there were a lot of trials coming up to that point, coming to this church, a lot of hardships in our family, a lot of personal growth. But at the point I'm at now, I feel like the Lord has really led me to keep moving forward and becoming a chaplain, even though it's about 10 years of school. So not the biggest fan of that. Today I'm talking about stepping out in faith. And like Pastor Lowell said, I joined the military when I was 19 years old, and that was a huge step in faith. I mean, I could have gotten stationed in Illinois, which would have been really cool, being an hour and a half from my dad and Kelly. But no, the Lord sent me 4,500 miles away from my family with no one. No friends from basic training, no friends from tech school, no family up there, and I started over. I had to create a whole new church family up there. I had to make new friends. I had to learn how to be in the military, which is not always the most conducive environment to a Christian. So the Lord has really led me through that and put me in a position where I'm confident with who I am, and I'm happy to be in the place that I'm at. To start with the message today, the verse is Matthew 14:28 through 31. So I don't know if everyone brought their Bibles. I use the NET version. I know most of you guys in here use the NIV. Just in my personal reading, I've grasped onto the New English Translation. But in that verse, it says, Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, order me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind, he became afraid. And starting to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? So I'm sure many of you have stood on the edge of something that you didn't quite understand. You couldn't quite grasp or fully comprehend, and you asked, Lord, what am I supposed to do now? In this same instance, the Lord called Peter to walk on the water, and so he did. And he was able to step out in that faith because he had the call from the Lord. Now, faith is not the absence of fear. It's moving forward in obedience despite that fear. Now, Peter and the disciples were in a storm. I mean, I can't imagine what the storm's like, but I've lived in Missouri most of my life, so I know what some storms look like. I know what tornadoes look like. So I can only imagine that. And the Lord said, come, and so Peter did. To give some further context into that verse, Jesus had just fed the 5,000, and the disciples were in this boat during the storm when Jesus called him. So faith begins with a word from God. Now in Romans 10:17, it says, consequently, faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the preached word of Christ. So Peter didn't step out blindly. He didn't just see some random guy walking out in the water and be like, I can get out there. That works for me. The Lord called him, and so Peter stepped out in faith. He needed that word before he just thought, oh, I as a human can run on water. We often won't walk without first hearing the call. Far too often in my own life, I found that I get stuck. And I'm like, well, where am I supposed to go, Lord? And sometimes it doesn't come the day I ask him. Sometimes it comes 4 months later. And that's always a humbling experience. So we shouldn't be stepping out on impulse, but on the instruction of the Lord, where the Lord takes us and leads us for the plan he has in our life. We can think back to Abraham. God called him to go to a land that he didn't know, he had no idea about, he had no prior knowledge, and yet he went. We too should be following in the footsteps of Peter and Abraham. When the Lord says go, go. It's the easiest command in the Bible. It's the easiest thing to follow. You take one foot after the other and you keep stepping. The second point is faith requires action. In James 2:17, it says, so also faith, if it does not have works, is dead, being by itself. Peter didn't just hear the Lord call and go, all right, sounds cool, be there in a minute. He got off the boat and walked towards the Lord. That action is the second step after hearing. Far too often we say we have faith, but we stay in the boat. It's safe, it's familiar, it's comfortable. Your boat could be your house, your bedroom, your parents' house. For me, it's my 10x10 dorm room that I live in the Air Force. And it's real comfortable being in there when I know nothing can hurt me. And then I have to go to work at 7:30 in the morning and climb a 200-foot antenna. That action I take every day, I trust in the Lord, and he protects me. So far, I'm not dead. I haven't fallen off a tower, and neither have I gotten hit by vast amounts of radiation that have given me cancer. So I'd say the Lord is good in that aspect. That real faith is risky. It doesn't grow in the boat, though. It grows on the water. Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith, Noah, when he was warned about things not yet seen, with reverent regard, constructed an ark. Even though his entire community berated him, called him an idiot, told him that he was wrong for doing this, the Lord said go, and Noah went, even though everyone was against him. Like I said earlier, I have done something similar, not constructed an ark, because that would be a little crazy. But I have built antennas, and I've moved 4,500 miles away from home. The Lord told me to go, and fortunately, I put my name on a dotted line for the government, and I went. And it is the best decision I've ever made. I have seen myself grow. I have watched my family see me grow, not just spiritually and emotionally, but I've also seen some physical growth. I don't know if many of you remember me 4 years ago, but I was a very small lad with not a lot of meat on his bones, and I can pretty much hold my own now. So the Lord called me, and I went. Now, faith also grows through failure and focus. Hebrews 12:2 says, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Peter sank. We all read it in that verse. He walked out on the water, and then he doubted, and he started sinking. But Jesus saved him. No matter what, when he says go, and we go, even if we doubt, the Lord is there to pick you back up out of the water. He's there to pull you out of the hardships and the struggles, even though it might not be the day of. Failure's not final. Jesus didn't rebuke Peter for trying. He rebuked him for doubting. He said, you, why do you doubt? It wasn't the attempt that Jesus was upset with. It was the distrust. Now, faith falters when our focus shifts. Peter looked at the wind and the waves instead of Jesus. He decided that what was going on around his head, what was happening over here to the left, what, you know, my phone buzzing in my pocket during a service, what was happening everywhere else but where the Lord is, was important to him. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord when he tells us what it is we need to do. That focus will strengthen our faith. Do not let your past failures stop you from stepping out again. Keep your focus on the Lord. We all fail time and time again. I've been caught by my gear on an antenna. Like I said, I've never fallen off the antenna, but I have definitely fallen about 6 feet. I have failed in climbing an antenna. I have failed in laying cable, and I've gotten better at it, and I've been able to confidently go out and do it by myself now. I can climb an antenna. I can climb a 200-foot antenna in about 15 minutes now without any problems. Those failures do not stop you. Proverbs 24:16 says, although a righteous person may fall, 7 times he gets up again. And I can tell you for a fact I've gotten up more than 7 times. Many more than 7 times. But when the Lord calls us and we falter, you can always get back up again and keep following in the call the Lord has for you. Faith starts with a word from God. It was demonstrated by action. And though we may stumble, we grow through focus. All of us have a boat. What is your boat? Where is Jesus calling you to come? For me, that boat was home in Missouri, where it's 95 degrees and stormy and windy. He called me to the military and then to Alaska, where it's negative 10 and cold and icy. But where is the Lord calling you to come? What is it that he wants from you? We need to make a decision today to trust God beyond what's comfortable. Something I'm told time and time again every day is embrace uncomfortableness. Get uncomfortable. That is every branch of the military's motto. Every day of our lives is uncomfortable. But the Lord will not call you to what's comfortable. The Lord will call you to what's right. And most of the time, that's uncomfortable. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we live by faith, not by sight. Peter may have seen a silhouette of a man out on the water, but he heard the words, come, and so he went. We too need to live by that faith. I guarantee you we're not seeing Jesus walk on the water. He's in heaven right now. So when the Lord calls you, live by your faith. Now that's my sermon, and I would like to end in a prayer. So, Lord, give us the courage to step out when you call. Help us to trust your voice more than the winds around us. Increase our faith as we keep our eyes on you. In Jesus' name, amen.
A good word, amen, yes. I said to Gage in my office before church this evening, I said, Gage, you'll have about 40 or 45 minutes. He said, I don't think I'll need that much. I said, that's all right. Whatever it is, how many of you have ever preached a first sermon? I have. A few of us have. Yes, that was an excellent word from the Lord. Now, what we want to do before we leave the house of God tonight, and we're not just going to linger here unnecessarily, but I want us to pray over Gage. Come on down here, Gage. I want us to pray. Come on, Scott, you and Kelly, come on, and his family come, and Pastor Peter, you come as well. We welcomed several months ago young Andy Nelson to preach his first sermon to the congregation here, and we prayed over him, committed him to the Lord. And you know, Gage, I remember when you were, how far were you into basic training when you just about collapsed?
It was about 3.5 weeks.
About 3.5 weeks into basic training. Yeah, it was awful. How many veterans do we have in the house tonight? You remember, you know, I don't know. And so they were telling me all about this. Scott and Kelly were telling me what he was dealing with. And I went to Pastor Peter and I said, Peter, you remember this, Peter? I said, Peter, do you think, is there any way that he could get out at this point? And Peter said to me, well, probably, but he shouldn't. And I said, what do you mean he shouldn't? He said, he'll be sorry. If he gets out, he needs to press through, and he'll make it through just fine. Gage, that's your testimony, isn't it? The Lord brought you through. Those were words of wisdom. And God has, we don't know when Jesus is coming, but we prepare and we move toward what God has called us to until the Lord Jesus comes. And so I believe Gage, God has his hand on Gage for now and for the future, whatever future remains. So we want to pray that the Lord's blessing and anointing rests upon him mightily. And so here's what I want us to do. I want us, first of all, to have Scott, you lead us in a prayer on behalf of your family over Gage tonight. And then, Pastor Peter, I want you to lead us in prayer over Gage on behalf of the chaplaincy in which you spent 82 years, almost. And then I'll pray a prayer over him as pastor. So can we do that? Let's stand, congregation, and come into agreement in prayer. Is the family all gathered up here? All right. We'll have the family gather around. And then when Pastor Peter leads us, I'd like for all the veterans to come who have served in the military, and we'll pray in that light, and then I'll close in prayer. Scott, would you lead us, please?
Lord, we love you very much. And we thank you that even when we don't see where things are headed or what's happening, when we can't understand the world around us, we know that you do. We know that we can trust you because you see it all and you hold it all in your hands. I thank you, Lord, for Gage, for the things that he's chosen, the things that he's allowed himself to face, and for the work that you've done in him through that. I thank you for the growth that we've seen in him, and for everything that we see coming for him. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to pour out strength and hope and trust and faith. Let that grow and become more and more powerful and more real. And Lord, as he's doing the work that he's assigned right now, I know that people see you in him because I've heard the stories that he's told and I've heard the things that people have said about him. And I just pray that you would continue to be brighter and more present and more real in and through him, and that people's lives would be changed through the work, through being around him, and through everything that you have for him to do. Lord, give him clarity and focus and direction, and let him see without doubt where you're wanting him to go next. In your name, amen. Amen.
All right, let's ask all of our veterans to come. If you would, please, just come on and gather around Gage right now. You've been through many of these things that Gage is encountering right now. And let's lay hands upon him. Let the guys lay hands upon him right now. And Pastor Peter, I want to ask you to lead us in prayer. Pastor Lisa and our other pastors, I'm going to ask you to come with me here also just a moment. But lead us in prayer.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Even as he pressed on when he was in basic training and you brought him through, there are many times in the future where he will press on. And if he keeps his eyes upon Jesus, he will walk on the water. He will walk through difficult times, and he will walk through, and he will find that you will be true, and you'll take him through. To give him strength to be a witness and a shining light in a dark place, that others will see Jesus Christ, because it is you that we point to always, that they will know that you are the ever-living God that offers us eternal life. Bless him, Father. Give him that determination, Father, to always keep pressing on, because you have hope for all sorts of people that he can bring the message to, that he can speak your word unto them. And he can touch people that others won't be able to touch, but he will be able to touch because he has been there. He's gone through similar experiences, and they will be able to hear your word speaking through his voice. Bless him now, God, and give him your strength and your holy power. And we thank you for all of the veterans who are here this night to pray and understand what he is going through, and that you will bless them. Bless him as he moves towards the chaplaincy, as he meets with the chaplains in the coming days, Lord, that they will have the right direction and encouragement to him to know the steps that he should take. Bless him, Father, and give him your favor and grace. In Jesus' precious name, amen, 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 amen.
Amen. All right, come on. Pastor Lisa, you come stand in front of Gage. You were his youth pastor for a long time, and we want to pray on behalf of our pastors as well here tonight. Everybody stretch your hands this way and let's come into agreement. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We hear your word tonight that declares that these gifts, Lord, in the ministry are gifts from Jesus to the body of Christ. We thank you for a good gift in Gage. We thank you, Lord, for a ministry that is beginning, O God, has already begun as he yielded his heart and his life and his steps to you. Thank you, Lord, for his answer to the call of God. We pray, Lord, that as he moves forward into your will and into your purpose for his life, that you would go before him, guide him, direct him by the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit. May he feel and sense fresh anointing every day from the Holy Spirit to do the work that you've called him to do. May he not become discouraged, O Lord, at the process, but may he look ahead and realize that you have purpose in the future and you have purpose today and the next day and every day that he lives, O God. We pray that he would be a witness and a shining light for Jesus. We thank you for his family and for the excellent encouragement he receives from them. We pray, Lord God, that you would bless him as he's gone from us again in just a few days. Watch over him, protect him, keep him in all of his ways, O Lord. Keep him close to you, we pray. And help him, Lord, we pray, just to fulfill every piece and part of what you have for his life. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for this gracious congregation gathered here tonight in agreement. We commit Gage into your hands for your keeping and your work to be accomplished in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen, amen.